Lord one more time, shall we? So good to see you this morning. Praise the Lord. Can you believe it? Christmas is right around the corner. Jesus is indeed the reason for the season. Amen. Good to have you here in the early service. Those that are tuning in live, it's always a pleasure to have you and welcome you as well. If you're visiting for the very first time, I won't remember your face, but thank you for being here. A lot of things happening. I want to tell everybody what a great, you know, the mission team had a garage sale yesterday out here in a church parking lot. Tremendous success. I even went out and bought something myself. Anyway, that was a wonderful day. Also, listen, the mission team, the shoe drive is ongoing right now. The deadline, though, is next Sunday. So if you're going to get shoes for the kiddos at the orphanage, you need to do that before next Sunday. That's December the 13th. New shoes only, it says. No characters on the shoes. So I guess that means like Star Wars things or Star Trek or I don't know. No characters on the shoes. For a list of sizes, please visit our website or you can go on the app. Also, Christmas Eve service, we're going to be live streaming that only, and the time will be announced later on. Also, Wednesday evening services will resume in January, but we're going to live stream only until we see, this pandemic get out of the way. Amen. Just a reminder about the Christmas services, the next two Sundays, not today, of course, but the next two will be Christmas services in a sense. We're going to be showing you some videos that's going to really, really bless you. Of course, I'll be teaching. And also, the last Sunday of the month, Pastor Raul is going to be teaching like he does every year at the last Sunday. He told me he was going to be telling us the date and the hour of the rapture. So you don't want to miss that service. Now, I know that you were probably expecting me to bring the New Year's message today because I told you last Sunday I might be doing that. Well, it's moved until January 3rd, which is going to be the first Sunday in the new year. And because the Lord wanted me to do something different today, we're going to go back into John chapter 17. But with all that being said, let's go now to the Lord in prayer. Father, we give you praise and glory as we move into the Christmas season, Lord. And Father, we don't need decorations. We don't need a tree. Nothing wrong with any of those things, but we don't actually need that. We just need to celebrate the birth of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, that's the only thing that is needed. And so, Lord, as we enter this season, as we move now to the throne of grace, that place of all mercy, all help, all grace in time of need, I pray for me. Lord, specifically, my request is that you would use me and that Jesus would be glorified and his unbelievable, precious prayer would not be stained by my teaching. Lord, I humble myself for as I go into 17, the prayer of Christ. Lord, I know that I am treading on holy ground. And Lord, help me now. And help your people, the sheep of your pasture, that their hearts may truly be open to the greatest prayer ever given on earth. And Lord, we thank you for all the good things you're doing for the work here at Calvary, the people, Lord, the healings and keeping us from the COVID-19 virus, and for those, Lord, that are ill, we lift them up. We pray for them that it is mild, that is a quick recovery and a sudden recovery, Lord. And we pray as this pandemic now has increased, Lord God, we pray over our doctors and our nurses and all the people, the workers, the people that clean those rooms, oh God, in the hospitals after the patient is released. Protect them, protect their children, their loved one. Lord, give them supernatural strength, the strength of David when he fought Goliath. And Lord, be with them in such a mighty way and be with our nation. Oh Lord, as we need only you. We do not look to man, but we look to you indeed. Now we love you, we bless you, oh Father. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And the whole church says, amen. Are you in John chapter 17? Good, wonderful. That's in John 17. That's one of the Gospels, as you know. We're going to talk this morning that Jesus prayed for you Very important word for what we've been going through. And that Jesus right now, believe it or not, is praying for you. Would you say that beginning on March 13th, 2020, that we entered into an adventure? Hasn't it been a time of trial and a time of testing? And I would have to call this, even though I know the Lord has strengthened us in it, it has been a bad adventure, hasn't it? It has moved us all out of our comfort zones because we are a people in this nation, whether it's Christian or non-Christian, we like our own comfort level. And here we are, we're all masked up, sanitized. We're probably cleaner than we've ever been in our life. You know what I mean? I mean, we're brushing our teeth even. I mean, hello. You know, but here's the thing is, the trials and the testings, they're not over yet. Do you understand? But I don't want you to be discouraged by recognizing that. And the reason is, we truly, the church, we are God's chosen generation. Did you know that? We're his chosen people, and we have been chosen for a time such as this, 2020, 2021. And we're not here by mistake. We weren't born in this time I don't know why, Bill, he needed to be back in the West with Wyatt Earp or something. No, I was born for this very time right now. And here's what's wonderful to know, that Jesus Christ, our Lord, not only prayed for you 2,000 years ago, he is still praying for you. He is still, right this moment, through everything that we've experienced, there hasn't been a day that he is not aware of whatever you have faced. He's praying for you and doing so even this very minute. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews 7:25, it says, therefore he, talking about our great high priest who ever liveth, who never changes, who is in heaven for us, therefore he is able to save to the uttermost those that come to God through him, meaning Jesus, meaning us. Amen? And not only that, listen to this. Since he always lives to make intercession for them or even for us. Do you ever let it come into your heart or your mind that Jesus is making intercession for his body? He knows when you hurt. He knows when you lose a job. He knows when you cry. He knows everything. He knows when one hair falls to the ground. Amen? See, he cares. He knows. And he says that he is able to keep us to the uttermost. That means completely, to the very end. He who began a good work in us will complete it until the very day of Christ. Amen? We're saved completely in God's eyes right this very minute. But what I love is that Jesus, not sometimes, not maybe 20 years ago or maybe next week, no, Jesus always lives there at the throne of grace. Do you understand? He always lives to make intercession for you and for me, meaning that right this very minute, we have a representative in heaven who has been given all power in heaven and upon earth. Amen? He is seated there for you, for us, for me. And he is making intercessions, pleadings. He's praying us through difficult times, whether we believe that or not. And he alone is able to carry us through the completion of this pandemic that we've been facing. And whatever trial you may be going through, whatever lonely moment in your life, whatever suffering that you've experienced, whatever hardship, or maybe financial hardship, or physical hardship, whatever it is, I'm telling you that Jesus is carrying you right now. Because he said that he would never leave you, and that he would never forsake you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And Jesus then said, amen, so be it forever. Amen? Now, with all that being said, no matter how dark the days may be, or they will be coming, no matter what this we face in this life, whatever trial, to the very last day of our journey, our adventure on this planet, he is saving us. He is keeping us. He is with us. And he always lives to make intercession for us. So with all that in mind, as we turn now, you're in John 17. Now this final discourse of our Lord began all the way back in the upper room in John chapter 13. And he now concludes the teaching to his disciples before he crosses over into the Kidron Brook, before he enters into the Garden of Gethsemane, before he is betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He's now walking with his disciples when we get to the end of John 16, the beginning of John 17. And so let's pick up as he concludes his teaching to his disciples and to us as well. And let's look back then at John chapter 16, the very end. Look at verse 33. These things, Jesus says, I have spoken unto you. Now, these things, meaning again, chapters 13 through where we are right this moment. He says, that in me you may have trouble. You may have, what does it say? Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you really believe that? Not by coming to church, you're going to have peace. Sometimes did you know coming to church hearing a sermon may not make you comfortable? Yeah, it could make you sleepy, you know? But no, Jesus said, in me. Not in religion, not by becoming a member of a church, which is a wonderful thing. I'm not condemning that, of course not. But he says, I am. I'm your peace. He says, in me, he says, he's walking. Listen, he's facing the cross. He's going to die for the sins of the world. He says, oh, that you may have peace. In the world, you will have what? Tribulation. Did you know that's a promise? Does Jesus lie? That means, okay, if we're in a world war, Jesus said, I'm still your peace. If you're going through times of hardship or famine, I'm still your peace. Jesus said, if you're going through a pandemic, I'm your peace. Amen. Yes, and I say, oh, Lord, thank you. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be courageous. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, meaning I have deprived the world of its power. Meaning when you think of the world, don't think of trees and rivers and birds and alligators and pythons. And I hate pythons, don't you? That's why I won't go to Florida. Did you know that? Because of, like, they have those little doggy doors in their homes where their little doggies go in and out of their cats. Have you know how many pythons are in Florida? They crawl right through those doggy doors. They eat that little doggy. Oh, I'm not messing with it. Never mind. I don't know why I got off on that. Anyone going to Florida? Oh, could it be a word from God? Watch out for pythons, huh? No. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. He's overcome the world. He's conquered everything that's in the world. Everything that the world holds, he's conquered it for you. Amen? So he says, man, I want you to be courageous. And again, when Jesus spoke these words unto his disciples, unto us, listen to me now, where was Judas? Judas was gathering what? The priest and the soldiers and lanterns and torches and all the rest of it, making his way up to the Garden of Gethsemane to what? To arrest Jesus, to bind him, betray him with a kiss. In a few hours, he's going to die upon the cross for the sins of the world. But listen carefully. Jesus has overcome the world, and he has overcome it for you. I know that our minds have been attacked during this horrible time. But maybe right now, and I'm speaking about 2021, today moving forward, maybe it would behoove you to renew your mind to that truth. Amen? That maybe we should start renewing our mind and getting our minds right with the right kind of attitude. We can have peace, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's a war, whether it's a famine, whether it's persecution. We can have peace because we have overcome the world because we are in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Christ himself, he is our peace. Amen? Oh, we need to hold on to that, and we can have, and we will have, peace as we march into 2021. An incredible year awaits us, loved one. Now, you know, why not renew your mind to this great truth about overcoming the world? John the apostle of love, writing in 1 John 5:4, he says, and whoever, rich, poor, whatever, whoever, it says, is born of God, whoever has the new birth, whoever is a new creation in Christ, listen carefully, overcomes the world. That's it. That's the only criteria right there. It's not those who attend Bible college and those who have a PhD or a THD. No, no, no. He says, if you are born again, if you're in me, you have overcome the world. Amen? And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. That's it. Believing what God has said. We are indeed world overcomers. And he said, and who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, with that introduction, Jesus is now going to pray. Matthew Henry said this about this prayer. He said, it is the greatest prayer ever uttered on earth. And we have the privilege of hearing it. The prayers of the Son of the Living God. Man, I don't even know how to approach this. Loved one, listen. It's, you know, the Lord's Prayer. It's not the disciples' prayer, so don't confuse this one, okay? Remember, the disciples' prayer is when the disciples came unto Jesus, I think there, Luke 11, and he said, Lord, teach us to pray, even as John taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus said, ye shall pray after this manner, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Remember? Okay, that is not, we call it the Lord's Prayer, but that's really, it's the disciples' prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer. It is the longest prayer we have recorded of our Savior. Now, we know, and it's 632 words, but listen to me now. This doesn't mean that this is the longest prayer that Jesus ever prayed, okay? Jesus, remember when he prayed all night before he chose the disciples? He went up to the mountain and he prayed all night long. So this is just that prayer that has been recorded for us. So with only hours left to live, here's what Jesus prayed. In verses 1 through 5, he prays, number 1, for himself. In verses 6 through 19, he prays for his disciples. And then in verses 20 through 26, he prays for all future believers, which includes us. However, all of this includes us, if you will. Now, here it begins in verse 1. So Jesus spoke these things. It would be better rendered, after Jesus spoke these things, chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, look what he did. He lifted his eyes up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Now, did you see what Jesus did? Have you ever know, and when you study the Word of God, do you ever look at how people pray? I mean, there's people that they kneel. We're commanded to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting when we pray. Amen. We can go on our knees. We can go prostrate, fall before the Lord. You know what I mean? But, you know, we have a misconception, I think, about prayer. It says that Jesus did something. He lifted up his what? Well, why do we pray with eyes closed? Lord, I pray, bless your word today. how many of you prayed with eyes closed today? There you go. Thank you. 3. That's what I thought. You know, no, think about it. There's no place in God's word for us to do that. That's not the posture of prayer. We speak, lift up our eyes where? How many people saw the rainbow this morning? Oh, was that cool? Man, I pulled over. Becky was taking pictures of it. I got there and did a selfie. And are y'all with me this morning? Okay. Oh, listen. No, the posture of prayer. Sometimes I kneel because that's one of the postures of prayer. Sometimes when I'm alone, there's no one in this church and no one in the office. I'm here on Saturdays by myself. Sometimes I come in here and lay before the Lord. Now, not that I need to tell you those things, but that is a posture of prayer. But Jesus did something. He looked to where all power and all authority, he lifted, because heaven is God's throne and the earth is his footstool. Amen? He lifted his eyes up to heaven. In other words, how can we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, if we're like that? Nothing wrong with that. But I'm showing you something a little different. Is that all right? Yes, that posture of prayer. Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven because heaven is real. He lifted his eyes up to heaven because that's where God is right this very minute. He's the one who knows everything, who sees everything, and God is for you. And if God is for you, who in the world can be against you? Amen? And I look and I say, oh, Lord, thank you. Help me to pray like you. Help me, Lord. And he says, Jesus spake these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. All through John, you've heard that the hour is about to come. The hour is coming. The hour is coming. Well, now it has finally arrived for Jesus to glorify God the Father. How? He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die for the sins of the world. They're going to put him in a tomb. He's going to rise from the dead. He's going to ascend to the right hand of God. Amen? And Jesus said, that I can glorify you, make your name known all over the world. That's what Jesus came to do. And all of that was planned in what we call eternity, not in time. Before there was anything, before the foundation of the world, Jesus is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Amen? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He says, the hour has come for me to defeat the devil, to defeat death, to defeat mankind's sin. Amen? And what a prayer. Do you pray like that? He says, as you have given him power or authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Have you ever thought that you are a gift from God to Jesus? You ever heard that expression? You just think you're God's gift, you know? Well, you really are. You're God's gift, aren't you? You're God's gift to the Lord. When you come to Christ, he says, oh, here's another one. Here's another sheep. He's dirty. Take care of him. You know, look at him. He's going to wander off, break his legs, get him back in the flock, whatever's needed. He says, listen, authority, he's given it. And he says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. Christ, the Messiah, it says, whom you have sent. So to know God, to truly know him intimately, not know about him, but to know him, is to have eternal life. And that eternal life only comes through one person, Jesus Christ, our Savior. But here's what I like about this scripture. Jesus just settled something that every believer and every person in the world should know. And that is this. Through the lips of our Savior, Jesus said, there is only one true God. And that's our God. Only one true God. That means every other God in every generation since the beginning of time, they're fakes, they're phonies, they are not real. Amen? There's only one true God. And Jesus said, I have glorified you on earth. I've made your name known, O Father. He's going, I finished the work which you have given me to do. And what was that work? Well, to select the 12, remember? But it was also to redeem mankind. Why did Jesus come? Jesus, remember, what is it, Luke 19:10? Jesus said, I've come that I might seek and save the lost. Thank God he saved us, amen? That's what it's all about. Jesus said, my work is finished. On the cross, he's going to cry out in John 19:30, it is done, it is finished. Nothing left to be undone. And I'll tell you something about 2021. Our hour, this church, your hour has come. And boy, if there has ever been a time for us to truly, finally move forward into another year like we never have before, it is right now. And I pray that you start renewing your hearts and preparing your hearts, the New Year's message in January. Now listen, that you prepare your hearts now. Right this very minute, to glorify Jesus Christ, amen? To glorify him in this city, in this state, in Mexico, Haltom Christian School, whatever we do, we're here to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? And I'll talk about the things, where we're going, what we're doing, what the Lord wants us to do in 21, at the first of the year. And listen, if you want to do a New Year's resolution, just make one. I'm just going to serve the Lord. That's all you need. Amen. Just serve the Lord. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself. Now watch this. With the glory which I had with you before the world was. What a word. I'm coming home. I've been gone for 33 years. Loved one, listen to me. Have you ever left one culture and gone into another? And if you're a country boy from Texas and you grew up in a little bitty town, maybe 300 people, you know, and there was not a police department or fire department or stop signs or red lights, and then you get drafted and you're sent to another world. You're in culture shock. Do you know that? Huh? Yeah, I guarantee it. And things are so different and people are so different and customs are so different. Can you imagine Jesus after 33 years on the most wicked, vilest planet that has ever been? There he comes from the throne room of God, and he becomes a little baby in a manger. God is born, the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. And there he lies in a feed trough. He came from the throne room and ended up in a feed trough. Philippians tells us he became a bond servant. That word means he became the lowest status on the rung of a ladder. He took the lowest place, God. And he grew up in a culture, and now he says, I'm coming home. Can you imagine the glory that Jesus had with God the Father before he came to this planet? Do you understand that? I mean, he left heaven for you. He left heaven for me. He left heaven for people who were murderers. And do you understand? To save mankind. And I go, oh, Lord. He says, restore to me the glory that I had with you before the world was ever formed. In other words, the glory that I had, he says, reverse my self-emptying. That's from Philippians 2. When we get in Philippians, we'll learn about that. The emptying of Christ, not of his deity. Jesus was always God, but he did not use his powers unless God directed him to. Do you understand? Yes, he was always God, never anything less than God. Now, but he says there, he says, with you, which I had with you before the world was. It's interesting that Jesus, in this prayer, mentions the world 19 times. Now, we've been instructed by John the Apostle not to love the world, nor love the things in the world, because the love of the things in the world are not of the Father. You know what I'm saying. But when he says the world, again, he's not talking about the rivers and the trees and the birds and all that. When he's talking, he says the world here that he mentions 19 times, he's talking about that system, that Antichrist system that doesn't want God, that doesn't recognize God, that is organized against God. Does that make sense? There are only two kingdoms in the whole universe, kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness. And a person is either in one or the other. There are no other exceptions. Either you're sons of God or you're sons of the wicked one. Amen? Okay, so that's what he's talking about there. And then he prays now. Look, he turns to the disciples, and he says in verse 6, I have manifested, or literally, I've revealed your name to the men you have given me. Here's that word again, out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. In other words, see, there we are. We're gifts again. And they have kept your word. In other words, Father, as Jesus is praying, they were yours long before I ever met them on the lake there and said, listen, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Does that make sense? But now they belong to the Lord. And he says, listen, they're mine. And he says, now they have known all the things which you have given me are from you. Now look at the things. I have given to them the words which you've given me. They have received them, and I may add, not only did they welcome them into their hearts, they obeyed them, and they turned their world upside down. Amen? And have known surely that I come from you, and have believed that you sent me. Now, let me ask you a question. Jesus is God. Jesus is the creator of God. and the sustainer of all things. Colossians 1:17, by him everything is consist or held together. He, like someone once said, Jesus is the super glue of the entire universe. Now, think about, could Jesus have given his disciples anything in the world? He could have just created something and given it to him, didn't he? You ever think about that for a moment? He could have given them anything. You know, I hear stuff on TV today. God's going to give you this and that and that. And you know what? God has given us freely all things to enjoy. Amen? I get kind of tired of hearing where it's always about money. It's always about things. Nothing wrong with things if God gives them to you. Never be guilty. If you're rich, and thank God for it. Amen? Don't ever be guilty if God has made you those things. You know, God's the one that does all that. Just don't worship him. Worship the things. But what did Jesus give them? I mean, out of everything he could have given them, he gave us the most important thing in all of the world. Look at it again. It says, I have given to them what? The words which you have given me. The words of God. Jesus told us in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Aren't you glad that we have God's word? Do you treasure God's word? Job said, listen, I treasure God's word more than my necessary food. I desire it. I treasure it. The word of God should never be watered down. The word of God should never be changed. It's sin. It's the curse of whoever does that. Amen? Matter of fact, someone said this about God's word. The most important yardstick by which a church can be measured is not how large it is, how good its fellowship is, how interesting the pastor is, and I am interesting. I'm joking. It's not how good the music is, and the music is good. It says, it's not how well the grounds are kept up or how respected it is in the community. The most important measure by any church is how it handles the Word of God. Whether or not they teach the Word of God, whether or not they live out the divine truth, that's the key issue, because the church's responsibility before God is to guard and proclaim the truths of Scripture. Amen. Now, that is a good word, and that is why we teach all 66 books of the Bible here at Calvary Chapel. Jesus said, I pray for them. He says, I don't pray for the world. Very interesting now. I don't pray for the world. I pray for those whom you've given me, for they are yours. Jesus is not saying, I don't care for the world. Jesus died for the world. Amen? John 3:16. No. He's praying for those who are about to go change the world through him. He says, and all are mine or yours, and yours are mine, and I'm glorified in them. What a great word. I want to be glorified in Christ, don't you? No, I mean, doesn't that kind of blow you away? What if Jesus looked at you and goes, Mario, I'm glorified in you. Tom, I'm glorified in you. I would fall down and start weeping and say, I have let you down. Do you understand? I would say, I've let you down, Lord. Jesus looked at them. Oh, I don't know about you. That gives me such hope, because in about 10 minutes after that prayer is over and Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane sweating great drops of blood and they're over there sleeping, what happens? Judas comes. And are the disciples going to be scattered? They're going to run for their lives, remember? Oh, and Peter's going to deny him, all these things. And Jesus said, I'm glorified in you. When I go through and I'm preparing this sermon or whatever, I say, that's what I want. I talk to myself, Lord, I want that. I've let you down. Oh, I have failed you, Lord. But here's what you need to see. Here they are, it's the 11 now, not the 12. Do you understand? And Jesus does not see them as failures. Isn't that incredible? See, Jesus knows what we're going to become in him. Does that make sense? Oh, he doesn't see you as a failure. He sees you complete in Christ. He knows that the Holy Spirit is going to complete the work in you. Yes. He says, no, I don't see them as failures. I see them as as men of God who are going to turn their world upside down. Jesus said, I am glorified in you boys. And they fainted, I'm sure. But why? The only way for Jesus to be glorified in us is for us to what? Obey him. To do what he's called us to do. And we have something to do in 2021. Have a Merry Christmas, and then let's get serious. Amen? Amen. He says, now I'm no longer in the world. He's praying. He's lifting up his eyes, remember. But these, maybe he pointed to them. I don't know. But these are in the world. And Jesus says, and I come to you. Meaning, I'm coming home, Father. I'm coming home by way of the cross, by way of the tomb, by way of the resurrection, by way of the ascension. I am coming back home. He says, Holy Father, keep, protect, in other words, keep through your name those whom you've given me that they may be unbelievable. Be one as we are. Isn't that hard to read? To be one as we are. John 10:30 says, Jesus said, the Father and I, we are one. He says, and while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. I protected them. He says, and those whom you gave me, I've kept. And none of them is lost except the son of destruction or the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Speaking of Psalm 41:9, I think it is. Talking of Judas. When you think of Judas, please don't think of Judas Iscariot as an example of a believer who can lose their salvation, because Judas was never a sheep. Do you know that? He was a traitor. He sold the Lord out for 30 pieces of silver. He was a thief and a liar. Do you understand? He never believed. He made his own choices and his own decisions, loved one. No, so he wasn't a believer. He says, but I come to you, and these things I speak to you in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I don't know how to teach that. I know what I'd love to experience that more and more and more. Jesus says, you know what? And Jesus' prayers are always answered, by the way. I want them to have my joy in a troubled world. Do you face the trouble that we've been going through with his joy? In other words, the joy that God has given unto you. That's what we truly can do, but we have to have our mind right. We have to have our heart right. We have to have our thinking right. And we have to believe the word of the living God. Jesus said, no, listen, you know, my joy fulfilled in themselves. Was Jesus' prayer answered again? Yes, of course. So I have to ask you a question. Has your joy, his joy that is in you, has it been stolen? What belongs to you, has it been stolen in 2020 because of all that's been happening? Don't let that continue. You have the word of God right here. Jesus says, my joy, meaning the full measure of Christ's joy. I tell you, as we move forward into 2021, we have to regain, if we've lost that joy, we have to regain what belongs to us and what has been given to us. You know, Nehemiah 8:10, remember what he said? The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's his joy in us. It's his strength that gets us through times like this and the things that we're facing. And you're saying, maybe, well, Bill, I'm not going to have the Christmas I've always had. And I want to say, Calvary Chapel's not having the Christmas we've always had. Do you see any decorations? Ho, ho, ho. You know what I mean? And, you know, we're going to have a big, no, we're not. Are we going to have any, no, we're not. But it's okay. We're still one body, amen? Yeah, we're still the church. I think we can make it through one Christmas without any tinsel, you know? That might be a word from God. It's going to be okay. Are you saying, Bill, don't decorate? Of course I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we're not. How does that make you feel? Are you ready to enter 21 and take back everything that's been stolen? No, are you ready to get angry, spiritual anger, not fleshly anger? Are you ready to to become a Christian and a church who agrees with heaven? Be in agreement. Thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth. Are you ready for that? Well, then you better be ready for 21 because we're moving. We're moving in a... I'll stop right there. No. It says here, I've given them your word, which, and the world has hated them, and the world hates us too, because they're not of this world, and I'm not of this world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. In other words, protect them from the devil. Aren't you glad we're being protected from him? They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I love that, because this is not our home. No continuing city here. We're sojourners and pilgrims on this planet. Oh, listen, Jesus prayed that they should be kept from the evil one, but remain in a world that is sick, that is divided, that is flooded with evil and hurt and wickedness. Why? Why? Because they have business to do just like we have business to do. We are the ambassadors for Christ. Amen? And that's what they were as well. I want you to listen to me now. You know, I've watched closely the government and people and churches and the division in churches over the election. All is crazy. Loved one, listen to me. Man cannot make the world a better place. It's an impossible. The only person that can make the world a better place is the creator of the world. Do you understand? Only Jesus can do that. Man cannot do that. Listen, the problem is not Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter. That's not the problem. No, listen, the problem is not China, but it's going to be a major problem. It really is. You should watch what they're doing against this nation. But China's not the problem. Democrats are not the problem. Republicans are not the problem. Socialists are not the problem. Love on, no, listen to me. You know, the problem is not this filthy environment, this pollution, this global warming, whatever people might want to call it. Let me tell you what the problem is. The problem is the filthy, dirty, evil, desperately wicked hearts of fallen man. That is the problem. Do you understand? And that's why God says, you know what? You're the answer. The church, you're the answer. So this is what Jesus says. Look at it. Sanctify them, meaning the church. Sanctify them how? By your truth. Thy word is truth. In other words, set them apart. Did you know that we have been set apart for the plans and the purposes of God, that we, the church, we've been created. We're his workmanship, created for good works, loved one. Oh, listen, we've been set apart for what? Verse 18, look at it. The mission's not changed. As Jesus says, as you sent me into the world, now I also have sent them into the world, a world that is lost, a world filled with people who are dead spiritually, dead in trespasses and sins, those that are under the sway of the wicked one, and they don't know they're under the sway of the wicked ones. We have the same mission as Jesus. He's empowered us, Acts 1:8. Amen? We're to go about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, Acts 10:38. Jesus was the light of the world. We're to be the light of the world. Man, listen, Jesus came to seek and save, and we are sent to seek and save the lost. What did Jesus say in Mark 1:17? He said, follow me, travel with me, come have an adventure with me. Come with me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's who we are, loved one. Oh, that's what we have been called to do. And he says, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself. In other words, I'm setting myself apart. I'm going to die on the cross. I'm going to go to the tomb. I'm going to be resurrected. I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father after the ascension. He says, I sanctify myself, and here's the reason why, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. See, we can't sanctify ourselves, can we? No, we can't make ourselves holy. We can't make ourselves set apart for God, but you come to Christ. Now you are set apart for God. You're his holy vessel, amen? And he says here, when he prays for us, watch this, in verse 20, He says, I do not pray for these alone, meaning the disciples. He says, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. The message of the gospel, after the word of God, it becomes written and so forth, the closing of the canon. So Jesus now does something. He's about to cross over the river Kidron. He's lifting his eyes up to heaven, and now he looks past the cross. Does that make sense? That prayer is 2,000 years old, but he looks way down. He looks at all believers, and what did he do right there? He prayed for you before you were ever born. Do you understand? Before America ever was America, before any of our forefathers ever came to this nation, he looked down through the centuries, if you will, and he prayed for you. He prayed for all. He prayed and saw everything that was happening. He prayed for those who would be saved today. He prayed for those who are going to be saved in 2021 if we're still here. He prayed until the very end. May I tell you something? That Jesus, right now, maybe you're hurting, maybe you're lonely, maybe you need wisdom. Whatever it is, I'm telling you that Jesus always lives to pray for you. And what does Jesus pray for us, the church, just hours before his death? He prays for unity. Look at verse 21. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, I in you, and also may be one in us. And look at the purpose of our unity. That the world may what? Believe. That's our responsibility. That the world may believe that you sent me. Now listen about oneness. Jesus did not pray for numerical strength. He didn't pray for financial strength. He did not and certainly didn't pray for the ecumenical church where all of us are one. That's not what he's praying. He's not praying for denominational unity. He's certainly not praying that we all are the same. He's not praying for sameness, but oneness. Does that make sense? Man, listen, he prayed that we would be one with him and the Father. He didn't pray that we'd be all of the same denomination and so forth. He wasn't saying that, you know what, if we were all Calvary Chapel, we'd be in unity or Baptist or whatever. That's not what he's saying. He's not praying for that at all, because that doesn't create unity. Did you know that? No, we're divided everywhere. He's praying for the true church. He's praying for us that we would be in perfect unity. Now listen to me. How long is it going to take for that to happen? I'm talking about where everyone at this church, before I finally, God takes me home, or he tells me to retire, or the cheese falls off the cracker completely and you tell me to retire. Do you understand? How long is it going to be to where every Christian that belongs to Calvary Chapel, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, you say to yourself, we are now one. We are one accord. We're of one mind. We're of one heart. We have one purpose. Do you understand? And we're going to support the kingdom of God. We're all going to work together. We're going to make some changes when people come through. I don't want to get there. No, Lord. No. When they come through that door. We're going to make changes, godly changes next year. We're going to finish the race well. Amen. But we will not move forward in 2021. If you want it to be like 2020, then let's not walk in unity. Let's not all be one. We'll just keep going the same thing that we're doing now. Where every man and woman is a minister, where every person in the church is serving. Do you understand? We're serving. We are here. We exist in the body to serve one another, not serve self. Where we're all one and we're in perfect unity, like God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Do you understand? That's what Jesus' prayer. Let's let Jesus' prayer be answered. And I look and I say, oh God, that's what I want. That's what I want, Lord. It says in Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That means to guard it. Guard what we have, this spirit of unity. And then he goes on, Paul says in Ephesians 4:3-4, or verse 4, he says, for there is one body. That's it. We are one body. There's a body of Christ. Now listen, there is no body without Jesus. And there is no life without Jesus. Amen? Jesus is the vine. You are the branches. Do you understand? We are to manifest our unity to this world that they might believe. We're to manifest that unity that Jesus prayed for, that oneness, so we can walk in the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit. That's why Paul goes on in Ephesians, he goes, and there's only one Spirit. One Spirit. There's we have the same Spirit. We're all saved the same way, the same blood. Pardon me, the same death. We're all filled with the same Spirit. We walk in the same Spirit, sealed with the same Spirit, led by the same Spirit. We're a supernatural people. Amen? That's called unity, loved one. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, is working in you, taking each of us from glory to glory to glory. Oh, listen, unity. Oh, that's what we have to have in 21. It says in Psalm 133, verse 1, oh, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Let's manifest who we really are in Christ in 2021. Amen. He says, I know it's time to go. It says, and the glory which you gave me, I've given unto them, that they may be one as we are one in them, and you and me, and that they, I love this, that they may be made perfect in one. That's that perfect unity. And the world may know that you've sent me and have loved me as you have loved me. Gosh, how God loves us. Amen. The same way he loves Jesus. Father, I desire that also whom you've given me may be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory which you've given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. Man, I think it's where we were last Sunday, wasn't it? Oh, or something? Listen, what did Jesus tell us in John 14? He told in the upper room discourse, he was telling them, he says, let your hearts be not troubled. Boy, it's a word for us. He says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Listen, if you're not believing in God, your heart is going to be troubled. If you're not believing in Jesus, your heart is going to be troubled. Do you understand? And he goes on and he says in the word, in my Father's house are many mansions, many places, a lot of rooms, if you will. If it were not so, I would have not told you. And I go to prepare a place. That's singular, by the way. I go to prepare a place for you, for each of you, for each of you here. Oh, listen, I go. How? The cross, the cost, his death. He's going back home. Oh, listen, we have a home right now. We have a home in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. We have a home. Man, you're never going to cry again. You're never going to be sick again. You're never going to have sorrow again. Tears are forbidden in the city. I'm going to. Amen? You're just going to be smiling all the time, I guess. I don't know. But it's going to be a heck of a lot better than this place. Amen? Oh, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again, Jesus said, and receive you to myself. Where I am, you may be also. When is Jesus going to come again, and what does that mean? I told you last Sunday, remember, that sermon, is it evening or just evening? I don't know this, but I know that Jesus told us in Matthew, he said, listen, the Son of Man comes, you don't know the day, you don't know the hour. You also, he said, you be ready. Be ready. Be expectant. He says, and I go, and where I go, you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me. Isn't it great to know? Jesus said, I'm the way home. That's a great word. You want to go to heaven? Jesus said, I am the way to get there. Look how Jesus closes out this prayer. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I've known you. And these have known that you've sent me. And I've declared to them your name and will declare it. Now watch this. Watch this. That the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. That's the last, that's how Jesus closed out his prayer, loved one. You should be on your knees when you read that. I should be on my knees. All of us should be on our knees. It says, in them, the love of God, God's unconditional love should be in them, Jesus said. Is it? Yes. Romans 5:5. This hope does not disappoint, for the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, given to us by the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's in our hearts right now. And Jesus says, and I in them. Is that true? Yes. Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And his love is not to keep here. It's to let it out there. It's to be manifested. 2021. We must move forward in 2021 with a true heart and a true commitment to believe and act upon that love never fails. Jesus told us, you need to renew your mind of that great new commandment that Jesus gave us in John 13, 34, and 35. Jesus said, there in the upper room, after he washed their feet, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, as I have loved, to the same degree. By this, the whole world will know, by this, not by you carry two or three Bibles, you can speak Greek or Hebrew, you go to Bible college, or you're a pastor or an elder, a deacon, none of the. Do you understand? By this, not by miracles, by this, all will know, meaning love, all will know that you're my disciples. That's the true litmus test of every believer. Do you love each other as Christ loved the church? If you're listening online, maybe in your car, maybe on the radio right now, maybe at home, maybe in this chapel, did you know that Jesus, if you don't know him, now listen now, he prayed for you. Think about that. 2,000 years ago, he prayed for you. Let me read it to you again, and I'm closing, but listen, Jesus said in verse 20, I don't pray for these alone, but also for those who, future tense, will believe in me through their word, through the word I just preached. Will you believe in him? I tell you that the world is passing away. If you don't know Jesus, please don't pass away with the world. Oh, don't do that. Oh, listen, come to Jesus. Why don't you come to him right now? And why don't you move into 2021 with us? If you don't know Christ, you're listening to me online in this place, you cry out to him right in your chair, right in the pew, right in your car, right in your kitchen, right in your bedroom, in your living room, wherever you may be, and just cry out to him and say, Jesus, oh, please be the Lord of my life. Say it. That's all you have. Come and live in my heart. Be my Savior. And if you believe that, if you confess that, Christ, our Father in heaven, he will save you, and then he will keep you, and Jesus will always live to make intercession for you until the day you walk through the portals of glory and step into heaven, your home forever and ever and ever. 2021, our greatest adventure with Christ is waiting for us. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this word. Thank you for your sheep. And thank you, Lord, for those that are saved, those that just came to you. Now, Lord, bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Wake up your neighbor. Help him to get up out of the chair. I pray you have an awesome week. Don't neglect your prayer closets. Don't neglect the Word of God. If you're going to go Christmas shopping, just do it online. Amen? Or if you don't have any money, do what everybody else is doing. Steal packages off other people's porches. Did you tell me to say that, Jacob? Oh, pray for him. we're going to sing a song to the Lord, and then we're going to go home where you are. And if you need prayer, you just remain seated when everyone else is dismissed. I love you dearly. Let's sing to the Lord. God is so good. God is so good. Yes, you are. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. He's so good.